Hey, and welcome back to an exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. I owe an apology to our guest. She should have been on months ago, but I kind of missed the email with this film in it. But she's here now. She's a writer, director, producer. She does it all, and she has a producing partner and a directing partner, but she'll mention it, not me. Julianne Block, welcome back.
Very happy to talk to you. No sweat for the wait.
All my bad. All me.
So, yeah, just to kind of mention right away the other producing and directing partner, that's Virginia Kennedy, with who I did the entire film of Kings. So also if her name, whenever I talk about directing, writing, producing, it's the team of us. Well, we're living in very different countries now. She lives in Malaysia, where the film was shot, and I live in Germany. So this is why only me is speaking here right now.
Well, she would have welcomed me on if she wanted to be. She never got in contact with me, so she's out of luck.
She sleeps right now, most likely. I mean, they're like kind of 6 hours ahead. Otherwise, I could have asked her just to join in. But I had a couple of calls scheduled over three different continents. Very difficult.
Absolutely. I would say we could probably have worked it out, but we'd have to find the exact moment in time when it all works for us. Or I could have stayed up very late for it, so we could have done it.
Let's see, maybe like another time.
So this is your first film?
Truth to Tell, no, it's my second. The first one, the first one was an experiment, and everyone can watch it on YouTube who wants to watch it. It's called Emperor. It was a lot of fun. It's like a triad gangster movie, actually. But I would say it has flaws. Whereas Kings is like the first time I really... With Virginia, try to do something which is solid, like going by the procedure of writing a script, rehearsing, and then going to shooting. Whereas like Emperor, it was more like I was writing while I was going along and while we were shooting.
Which is never easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured that during the shoot.
When you were writing this film and practicing it, did you have like almost two films in mind? Because the beginning is very different from what I get at the end.
Not really. I think the overall arc was always there. And the whole story is based on Virginia's and my experiences being in Asia. I mean, Virginia is Australian, living in Malaysia. And I was living for 7 years in Asia, most of which I was actually in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. And obviously, as expatriate living in Asia, you have experiences. So we were both white women directors living in Kuala Lumpur. That's how a friend of us introduced us. And then we just thought, okay, let's see and put this into a film. I mean, there are incredible stupid things you do as foreigner in a country. And then responses, which I also very funny. And that was the genesis of the project.
But I mean, at the beginning, you have writings on the wall. I mean, you tell me you have little arrows pointing to people. You have a little narrative script going on. And that's kind of abandoned when we get further on in the film.
Right. This actually is more, I would credit the very opening more to Virginia. So, you know, like you have usually as filmmaker, if you start out, you have this very arty short film you want to make. And we have a character who is a filmmaker in our movie called Anders Wong. And he wants to make a film. So this is his short film, actually, what you see in the beginning, which makes eventually sense if you see the entire film and see how this comes together in the final end. So what you see is actually Anders Wong's short film in the beginning. And, well, I would spoil it if I say what Kings really in the final end is, which is kind of like a little bit of mindfuck as well, like if you piece it together, what's supposed to be.
So were you always playing this as a comedy, or was it supposed to be a drama or reality TV? What was the inspiration?
Mockumentary. The inspiration was, this is Spinal Tap.
Okay, I can see that now. Okay, I wasn't sure, because I'm like, I'm not really sure where I was supposed to take it. I mean, I definitely took it as a comedy.
I mean, it's a comedy mockumentary. Like, if you are not used to mockumentary, then I think, like, you would classify as comedy. And, like I said, like, most situations, cross-cultural things which happen are usually really funny, if you like to see it that way. For This Is Spinal Tap, we found it really great how that turned out, and like took certain not references but inspirations. For example, if you look at the shooting style of Kings, the entire thing is shot like a cheap reality show would be shot, like in a way, like a making off camera, which true enough led to some criticism. Like, people didn't think it's very fun, like it's not very high prof, like how it's not expensive looking, so, or not expensive enough. But you have, I think, to give the film a chance, like to really appreciate that this is how we wanted it to look in a way. Obviously, also, we didn't have like a huge budget. But having said that, it was all thought through. So it's not just kind of that this is that this happened by accident just because we didn't have anything else.
I would argue with these people. These are the same people that probably sit down and watch YouTube videos. That's exactly what this is.
That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah.
Right. So it works fine for me because I don't think it's supposed to be this high gloss production. I really don't feel that the director was looking for that.
No. And the thing is, like, it wouldn't work. Like, yeah. A bigger picture.
I have to agree with you. I just feel that people are judging you for something they don't understand.
Now I like you.
I'm sorry. I just feel I've watched the film and I know where you're going with it. It's, I mean, first of all, we're watching an indie film here, people. We're not watching a good thing. It's a comedy and it's a mockumentary. Obviously, it's reality TV. And they're not sitting there with 15 people on a camera crew. I mean, she says, I have no money, numerous times.
Yes, like, absolutely. So I'm very happy that you got that part. I said, like, it's amazing, like, sometimes reading reviews of your films and you, like... I had this, I think, with all of my films. You know, some people really love it, like really love it. And then, like, yeah, there are the ones which hate it. And I mean, totally hate it, just like kind of 1 out of 10.
Oh, no, I think it's a film you need to watch twice. I really think, because it makes
nothing
the beginning.
Nothing against make, that.
It makes the beginning. I guess my argument is you need to watch the beginning twice to understand the end. Once you get it, you're like, oh, I need to watch the beginning again.
Yeah, the beginning, the very beginning is hard. Like, you, I hear you. So I think, like, specifically if you watch it the first time, because, spoiler ahead, I mean, the idea is that it's a bad art film. So if you watch it and think, oh, this is really bad art, that's actually what it's supposed to be. But like I said, like, you need to get through it and to see the film to actually enjoy it in a way where I say, okay, well, yeah, that's like really a reference to all these short films out there which are made like first-time filmmakers and too arty for anyone. Like, no one can watch it and think, like, okay, what the hell? I mean, I could, like, you know, I can argue there are layers of meanings and stuff, but as I said, yeah, I think like the most important part is that it's supposed to be just funny.
I love the beginning. I hate to tell you. That was one of my favorite parts of the film. I love the different style of music you use, which I didn't even recognize it.
Perfect.
I mean, I don't know where that came from. I do want you to discuss that a bit. And I want to discuss why the blue makeup. I just thought it was great. And you even wrote, not Avatar. I'm like, that's genius.
So the blue makeup, you know, like, it's also, you know, like, blue film is... like a specific type of film.
Yeah.
And the blue makeup is kind of reference also to the Indian goddess. You know, like, Indian goddesses are always like portrayed in blue. Yes. So this is one part which we also have in the poster, for example. And like, since this is meant to be also later with the sisters, that they are they're actually like a twin, like they are sisters and one is white and the other one is Indian. This whole theme is coming like to a height in this artsy first short film, like where basically this one person plays with herself, chess. It's actually their childhood. So the person you see, like this, like which she turns up later on in the film, she plays both sisters. So, and the blue one is the Indian one, and the white one is actually the white one. So this is kind of like what the symbols are.
But my favorite joke in the film is she's got to play both characters because they don't have enough money. I thought that was great. I laughed at that. I said, I really think that gives you direction for the film. If you don't find that funny, then you will not like the film. I will have to state that.
Yeah. Yeah. It might not be a film for everyone. It helps if you encountered some racial prejudices in your life, and if you have traveled and kind of made a fool out of yourself just because your morals and your standards are so different than a different country, which means usually like traveling in a way where you really have to communicate with locals, not, for example, with a cruise ship where you just, you know, like have a photo stop and that's it. So that's not really getting you deep enough into it, I think, like to make these mistakes.
So, yeah, then you kind of go from that comedy to a little bit more serious in your mockumentary. And I do wanted to go from here to discuss the street scenes.
Sorry, which scenes?
The street prostitutes, I thought they were. I wasn't really sure what they were. I presume prostitutes.
Yeah.
Okay. But I just thought that was weird. It took me a few minutes, I will admit, to get into that. And I'm kind of like, where are you going? Like, I kind of expect this happy, kind of fun movie with the two sisters. And then I go here, I'm like, what is going on? And then I settled down. I will be honest with that. So when you were shooting the scenes in the street, did you, the full camera crew is obviously behind you, but people wonder what you were doing?
Not really. It depends really where you're doing this. So some of these scenes were not really and very much. So we shot some of the scenes at a stretch where most people are Chinese, where you have Chinese food, and actually where you do have, I reckon, if you look for them, I mean, prostitution is not really allowed in Malaysia, but you would find something if you'd look for it. So, no, we didn't have any problems there because you have party folks around you, which might be dressed a little bit less like prostitutes, but you know, like it's still kind of revealing enough. So we didn't make really an impression. Then, however, we actually looked for a place where we were able to shoot and see the Twin Towers, which is like how do you say this in English? It's like the symbol of Kuala Lumpur. So we wanted to have that in the background. And you can do that from a very Malay district in the city, which means it's very Muslim. And then that was something also, like, if I look back, that was actually quite rude what we did. Like, kind of shooting there, looking as we did, that was quite not really nice to the people around us. So we were like the elephant and the porcelain shop,
well, you
pretty
keep
much there.
Out in the film, in my notes, I have world's tallest twin towers is pointed out. You definitely put a narrative there again going, hey, look at these.
Yes.
So again, poking shots. Like I said, it does take, I would say, a few minutes to get comfortable with the film at times. Something else I wanted to touch on, the Billy Earl commercial cookies. I actually looked it up to see if it existed. I'm like, that is so good.
That is also, like, I would give credit, full credit to Virginia, who's actually a commercial director.
Aha. Because that was an amazing commercial. I'm like, that looked pretty good.
I would tell her that. She would be very happy to hear.
I did look it up because I'm like, do these exist? Maybe I just missed them. Maybe it's a Malaysian thing. Maybe there is such a thing.
No, we made everything up. There's no reference to reality, really, I think.
So the producer outfit, books everywhere in that room. You had just have books everywhere in this movie. You're constantly showing them.
Well, the idea is this, like, if you come as a white person to Malaysia, right, like, a lot of people think you're a slut anyway. Like, so Jay comes in with everything she has, and more or less, you know, like, what she does is so condescending, it's insulting, it's everything. So we wanted to heighten up, like, what Westerners usually tend to do. And then also heighten up the other side of it. So, like, whatever we experience in our lives, I mean, as I said, like, we have done stuff, like, not as extreme, but, you know, like, so that's what we used to put this together. Plus, reality shows, obviously, is still a big thing. I have to say, I personally don't like reality shows. I think they're just kind of like trying to shock you with whatever they have, you know, like just for the cheap effect of it. So this is also something we tried to, it actually, like, is a criticism in our mockumentary for reality shows in the end.
Well, I agree. I do want to discuss in discussing the books. The Big Book of Moral Standard. Is this to exist or you made that up too?
We made this up too.
Okay. So I was wondering, I'm like, maybe it exists in Malaysia. I don't know. Because different countries have different things. So, okay.
You do have, when you were asking me for, right, for the book. So, like, I thought you were asking around, like, for everything. So, this specific book, it's actually a physics book, where we just kind of, like, imprinted the title. So, it doesn't exist, but there are a lot of rules. So, a lot of rules are existing. For example, you cannot show your shoulders. Up to an extent where there was a Malaysian commercial where, like, a guy was, I think a guy was on a ladder trying to change a light bulb. And then, like, he's asking his wife to give him the screwdriver. And she said, I can't, because she would have to lift her arm and you would see her armpit. So this is, you know, and you can't show that in a commercial or, like, in public. And this is why this is so incredibly funny. So you can't believe certain things which come. You know, like, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. But then again, if you think of the Catholic Church, same thing goes. You know, like, you can't actually wear. You have to wear a T-shirt with long sleeves, or at least cover your shoulders if you want to go into the Vatican and see something. So that, multiplied with a couple of times, is what you have in Malaysia sometimes, up to extent where it's really strange.
So being a director, I know you had directing help. How was it to wear the same outfit all the time? You pretty much wear the same shirt for a good half the film, then you start changing outfits. Was that planned?
We had days in between where we could actually wash the clothes and everything. So, like, in the plan, not really. I mean, we had, like, a whole bunch of clothes, and then we just picked them and saw, like, whatever fits, and then you have to obviously, like, make sure continuity works.
Which is fun. How did your lead, I forgot his name already, Billy, the guy that plays Billy Earl, how was he? Did he enjoy the shoot? Like, he looks like he's having a great time of fun.
Yeah, he had. Like the character's name is Chad Tanner.
I was thinking C, and I wasn't coming to me.
Yeah, very, very enthusiastic. Like, he's Australian too. Like, it was a lot of fun to work with him.
How were the bugs? Are bugs bad in Malaysia? I have no idea.
So. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes, no. The thing what actually I remember was, like, hardest, we shot in this jungle camp. And
yes, that's what I was getting,
like,
to
actually shoot that, like, this is, that was tough. I mean, like, it was, you're like, basically, it is exactly as it looks in the film. And to be there for a while, so there were mosquitoes and bugs and stuff, like, you get used to it, like, after a while. But usually they rent out those huts, like, you can stay overnight to sleep there. I never tried, to be honest. So I was always happy to go home after a long day.
So you didn't stay in the place with no hot water, no air conditioning?
No.
How was the food? I mean, you're in a Malaysia, in a different country. I presume they don't have catering of some kind. You have to go out and get food, I presume. How did that work?
That's one of the greatest things I miss. So food is very cheap in Malaysia in general, and I've never eaten better, to be honest. Like, the street food is amazing. And so if you want to have catering, you can also send out people, just say, like, okay, get something for 20 people. You have this whole, like, food courts on stalls and stuff like that. So that was actually pretty easy and one of the easiest things. And as I said, like, I still miss the Malaysian food in general very much.
So in Malaysia, in the film, you say you can get by with just English. Is this true?
It is true. I mean, I was going to Asia to learn an Asian language. I wanted to learn Chinese, but I, like, lived in Hong Kong for 9 months, and then I moved to Malaysia, and all my attempts went down the drain. So I was When I came back, I spoke English with a German Malaysian accent, which is super weird, but I didn't learn anything else than that. So I do not blame anyone who's like, I mean, I'm German, I live in Germany, and, you know, like, frequently people get blamed if they live here for a couple of years and they don't speak the language. I won't blame anyone because I was no better. I mean, to be fair, I lived actually in a house with roommates. They were Chinese and they spoke English. So, you know, like, they didn't speak Chinese amongst themselves. So, you know, like, this, they always spoke English, and so did my friends.
Fair enough then. How was the casting for the film? Who dealt with that? Because you're dealing with Australian, you're German, you have a Malaysian people in it, and then you have Chinese people in it. I guess Chinese Malaysians, I presume?
Yes.
So where do you get them? Like, is there a casting central, or where do you find them?
There is something which is like a common hub in the internet where you can make a casting call. A lot of people who are in Kings, I've worked with before on Emperor, like that is the Triad gangster film. So, like, for example, Anders Wong, is Alfred Lowe is the name of the actor. He played the mean guy in Emperor, as well as Vicky, who plays Manesh, his teammate. He was also an Emperor. And so was my sister, Jyoti, Nina Shahrukh Khan. She was an Emperor. So, like, there were a lot of people, like, who just tagged along. So we were thinking of this project also, who do we have in our close vicinity we can use for this project and build the project around them a little bit?
I do want to discuss, you do have a task of making food for Chad. Did he enjoy eating those bananas?
Good question. I mean, it was very funny.
It was very funny, but they, like, shoved it in his mouth. And I'm sure he had to do it a few times.
I mean, I know we were giggling. He had a lot of fun. I can't remember that he didn't enjoy it. I mean, a lot of the food was not very tasty, what we had on screen, like the burgers and stuff like this. But for a banana, well, he had just, like, his mouth full of banana, so I think that was all right. There's not much, like, which cannot, like, he did like bananas. I think that's all I can say.
Yeah, for somebody who does not like banana, that was like not something I ever wanted to experience in my life. I mean, all these women are the worst cooks I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, in the movie.
Oh, I'm sure they're great in real life, but in the movie, they're all terrible. And I'm like, I felt really bad for the lead character. I'm like, this must be terrible.
That was also part of the fun, to just kind of, like, come up with ways how you can destroy everything. So you're, like, basically get a bunch of characters who are useless in almost anything.
Do you think Jay as a character realizes how bad this looks, this reality show, or she just doesn't care?
That goes two ways, I think. She realizes to a certain extent, she pushes it because she thinks that's what sells, but she doesn't realize how much damage she actually does with it.
Okay. And you have things like the minister's daughter, you have nice twists there. I do like those things. I thought that was good. And you did, I mean, the activities you make for the people in the show to do, they have to do tree climbing, they have to feed goats, they have to rice pick, and they have the food making. Is there something that was dropped that you thought maybe you could have done, but you didn't include it in the final product?
No. Like, also, like, I'm trying to think, like, who came up with the ideas exactly. I mean, a lot of times, like, if you have a lot of development time and you sit on the story, which we did, Virginia and I, then you don't really know sometimes where the idea came from. So also the movie is a little bit older. So this means, you know, like, it's not yesterday that we thought of the story. So I don't think, like, we were thinking of things we have access to, and then also looking at other reality shows, trying if we can modify their games in a way to make them fit to Malaysia in an awkward sort of way. And these games are what we came up with.
Did you ever have a a plot development that you cut involving the minister a bit more, because he seemed to only show up a bit. I understand the movie's based on the relationship between the two main characters and the third one that comes in later. I mean, you need that for the
ending? No, not really. I mean, like, basically what you see is pretty much what we had. Like, truth to tell, we had trouble editing the third act because we were realizing that this is where we should have spent possibly more time writing. And we had an amazing editor, her name is Isabelle, who was a French filmmaker. She came over to Malaysia and stayed with us for months, I think 2 or 3 months, like, to edit this film. And she did an amazing job to just kind of, like, fix certain things which we just didn't shoot.
Yeah, we can discuss that a bit. I won't think I'll ruin. Would you have a very tight... I found the last 20 minutes very differently edited, I would say, than the first two-thirds of the film. After they
That might be the reason why.
Okay, because I can see that when they retrieve something. I won't think I'll be ruining anything. But I'll just use that word. They retrieve something, and I notice the editing changes, and I thought the filmmaking really changed in that final third. Am I wrong there?
No. As that, like we had trouble in the edit with the third act, and I think this is mainly just because it was, like, I mean, as that, like, it's my second feature, but my first feature where I really, you know, like, went through the full process of everything. It was the first feature for Virginia too, and I think we should have just spent a little bit more time writing the third act. But in the end, we were both happy with the result, so there you go.
Now, let's discuss the very end of the film, which I'm not going to ruin anything. You have a shot with Kink's backdrops. They're in front of posters and stuff. Was that shot later, or was that shot always there?
It was there.
Okay, so you always had the end of the film. I was always wondering if you wanted that, if that was filmed for a time thing.
No. We always had this ending in mind.
Okay, so that's when we find out what happens to everybody. Okay, great. That was just one of those questions I had. So you've shot in Germany now, I think. And you shot in Malaysia. Which was the better experience?
Oh, you can't say better experience. You can also actually add the UK if you want, because my last feature I shot in the UK.
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know that.
No. Like, how you couldn't. So that movie is not out yet. So there's actually my latest experience. So you can't know that. So if I really if I compare those three countries, shooting is always the same. You know, like, basically, like, the cultural differences, that is what kind of is different in the shooting process as well. But I can't really think of that how the set was any different. I mean, obviously, like, one is a comedy, mockumentary shot in a jungle. And then, like, when I'm thinking of, like, a thriller shot in a castle in Germany, obviously two different genres and stuff. But the thing is, like, it was all very friendly, you know, like... And it might also be something which starts with yourself. I think if you, as director producer, if you care for the project and for the people, you know, like, you bring a vibe to the set. So it might not feel very different to me, because I was always in a position where I was able to, influence how the whole set situation turns out to be.
Now, do you think if you shot in a place like Australia or Canada, would it be different for you?
I don't think that much, to be honest. Well, I think the only, it would be different if I get the full crew more or less hired and put together by someone else. So if it's, you know, like, if I come from, so if I think now, like, to shoot in Australia or Canada or somewhere else, where I haven't lived or I don't have the connections, that might make a difference. But if I am deeply involved in the process of putting the project together on site, I don't think that much difference.
Fair enough. Now, do you feel marketing? Let's go back this up. Did you screen the film in Malaysia?
We had not commercially. We had a premiere there. But most of the marketing was actually, like, international in terms of U.S. So our distributor, Indie Rights, put it up in the U.S. as well as, like, other English-speaking territories.
Okay. So did you thought of doing commercial in Malaysia? Because it's a Malaysian film containing Malaysian actors.
We wanted to a little bit look how it turns out. We knew that there are a lot of subjects which possibly would never make the, like, would make it up to the screen just because they would be censored. So okay. they would be cut. We would need to cut it. So actually, no, we never thought this will go in, like, on, like, into Malaysian theaters as such. We had a couple of festivals, like, where this was playing, like, around in Asia. And that is something, to be honest, what we realized after. In terms of target audience, Kings has been incredibly difficult because basically it's a very Malaysian thing in a way, but like all say Asian thing. It's not that Malaysian, it's actually Asian. So every expatriate who lived in Asia for a while can see him or herself, I think, in the film. However, it's very hard to just kind of hit those people worldwide to watch the film. You know, like, so when this came out in the US, a lot of people just didn't get it because they have never been to Asia. So, you know, like, for them, this is all, might be all nonsense. You have to have, like, a little bit, like, the will to dive into this and to just accept that this is how things are there without thinking, like, are they all stupid or what?
Don't you have to do that with any film, though? I mean, that's like saying I stepped into the Matrix and I have never lived that, so I didn't understand it. I mean, each film, you got to treat it as its own.
Every film, I agree.
I mean, you set the world for me would be my argument. I mean, with the sisters playing, so I took it as a funny comedy, but it didn't become that in the end. But I let that go because you're the filmmaker and I'm watching your film. You got to tell me what I'm supposed to believe in.
Well, as long as I make films, I tend to think that there is a structure how we perceive films and how we are more or less brought up and conditioned to see films. You know, like basically most directors are male, so you preliminarily see a male vision of things. And then most directors possibly also tell stories about white Western protagonists, which are often also male. So that makes an impact, not specifically for Kings, but I have seen this, you know, like with my other films as well, like getting very mixed results. And I realized more and more because I thought, okay, fine, you know, like people just will see it, like they will understand, but a lot of people just don't. And then there are some who totally get it. So, you know, like I can't be all that off because people do get it, but then a lot just don't, or they're not willing to open up. So they might just want to sit back and have something very easy. Nothing where they have to really think too much when they watch it on an evening?
I have to say that a lot of people are looking for polished films, and I disagree. I think there's great indie films, and I think you get to open your mind with any film. I think sometimes you got to put your Marvel films away and take something challenging. You know, like Breathless yes. to me would fall under that thing. I would not say Breathless is an easy film to watch, but it's fascinating if you let yourself get into it.
You will find flaws in any of these films, and for sure, like, Kings is definitely not flawless, but, like, if you're willing to just dive into this and you let go, I think then there's, like, really a lot to discover.
I agree with you 100%. I would like to see a sequel to it. I definitely think that you've left those plot points there for me to have another one. That Jay can go
but you
back
know, and I were talking. At some point we were talking, and, like the thing is, like, since now, like, you know, I'm not living in Malaysia, or like I'm out from Asia since 2011. I should bring it up with her now that you say it.
I just think it's leading itself to there. I definitely could see something else with the Jay character, with a different bunch of people. I totally can see it there.
Yeah, I mean, the characters are nice. The stories are nice. Like, I think also, like, if you have, you know, like, if you come up with something, like, the entire situation, I think more than ever is actually relevant. It was, sometimes I feel it has been, like, it was less relevant then than it is now.
I absolutely agree with you.
So, anyway, I will contact Virginia, I think right after we have done this interview, just to tell her, look, something is coming, listen to it, let's think of something like we can do together again, because that was really fun.
And she can come on this time and discuss it.
So there is her second chance then.
There is. Okay, we're going to go to the fun questions, which I'm sure you've prepped for since last time. Your favorite country you visited, which I don't think I asked you last time. I meant to go back and listen, but I didn't.
Let's see. Shoot.
Favorite country you visited?
You didn't ask that question. That's a hard one. Because I was working on a cruise ship, so I visited 50 countries.
Oh, awesome. So great question. Let's go.
Yeah, I need to think. New Zealand.
Okay, one place on my bucket list. I will make it to one day. I've always said that. Okay.
Yeah.
Since you're in Germany and I love beer, do you drink beer or wine?
I drink wine, no beer.
No beer. Okay, so do Germans make good wine? There's a question for you. And your favorite one?
My favorite wine is actually Spanish, not German. I think Germans do, they do okay with wine. So they are like their favorite things like for people, but it's just not my favorite. I like red wine, dry red wine, and there I prefer the Spanish ones, Tempranillo, something like that.
And I don't know if I've asked your favorite movie you've never a movie you've never seen and should have.
Taxi Driver.
Wow. Okay, fair enough. Tell everybody where they can find this fun film.
It's on Google Play. It's also on YouTube Movies. Unfortunately, it's not anymore on Amazon Prime, but there's also, like, if you just go to the website, all the links where you can watch it from various countries are on there. So the movie's website is kingsthemovie.com.
And thank you for your time and staying up late for me.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.